Okay, so by popular request, we'll just try to say a couple of things. We'll try to walk through a little bit of some of the aspects of the Haggadah. It'll be free association, whatever comes to mind, we'll talk about. When the Rambam quotes the din of Kolamar plus Tapu, it's trying to raise a Meshubach, that Chazal say when it's supposed to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim a lot, so the Rambam formulates that in terms of the component of the Seder, of Dorosh is a Parsha. That Chazal Institute at the very end of Maseches Pesachim speaks about the Seder HaDvarim, when it's supposed to recite on the Leil HaPesach. So the Mishnah speaks about saying the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, the Dorosh called a Parsha Kuli. He's supposed to say the Pesukim and then give a drasha about the Pesukim, then another Pesukim, another drasha, Tashbuch Tzav, Tashbuch Peh. So the Rambam writes that he's supposed to be Marbi B'drush. That's the idea of Kolam Marbi Tzav Tzitzitzrayim, is that most of the Tzitzit Tzitzitzrayim should focus Dafka around the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. So most people don't do that. Most people say all the verses are Haggadah by the Arba Banim, and then by the time they get to the Parsha of the Ikar Haggadah, so that gets lost in the shuffle. The Arba Banim doesn't appear in the Mishnah, but this does appear in the Mishnah. So I want you to try to spend a little bit of time at least saying the words carefully or elaborating upon whatever one is able to do. So why is it that Chazal picked the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim to use as a springboard for Sibur Tzis Mitzrayim? There are other more appropriate psukim. Psukim back in Parsha's Shmos, Vayir Bo, which speak more directly about the events as they unfolded. So why do we revolve everything around the psukim that are really just telling over at a later date? So there are different reasons for this. So even the Lashon that the Torah uses is actually synonymous. The Torah speaks about the person who comes to say the Mikra Bikurim, he got it the Ayyam Hashem Lakecha. So the Torah also uses the Lashon of Haggadah, which is the same phrase, we got it on the Bincha, but perhaps there's more to it than that. So when the farmer walks in and presents the Kohen with the Bikurim, so he introduces by saying, he got it the Ayyam Hashem Lakecha. So the first already bothered with that phrase, he got it the Ayyam Hashem Lakecha, Yvasi Al Aretz. So it sounds like he's announcing that he just arrived in Eretz Yisrael right now, which is clearly not the case. He's been around the same guy who brought Bikurim for the last 50 years. His great-great-grandfather brought Bikurim. So why is it he got the Ayyam Hashem Lakecha? So Rashi and Chumash quotes that Chazal understood this pasuk to mean, B'chol yom yubei nechki chadoshim, that when you bring Bikurim, so that's an opportunity to reconnect to the gift of Eretz Yisrael. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should have the gift of Eretz Yisrael. We should view it as something that's new, something that's fresh in our mind every single day. So that's the significance of the Mikra Bikurim, that to put things into, when you reread the history and you tell over the story again and you make it real, so that creates that effect in your mind, if you got it, that it's B'chol Yom Yu B'Nechi Chadoshim. So Chazal find that idea of B'chol Yom Yu B'Nechi Chadoshim in a few places. We find that in Talmud Torah. There's also a mitzvah V'Hoyer, Dvar Me'il Hashem Nechem B'Tzav Chayom, so Rashi calls from the Sifrei, B'chol Yom Yu B'Nechi Chadoshim, and we find it by Sipur Tzis Mitzrayim as well. That there's a din of El Sano, Tzim Misham, B'chol Dov V'Dov, we mentioned this the other day, that you have to view yourself as if you left Mitzrayim on that day. So maybe that's the reason why Chazal put this parasha in, because this parasha also highlights that same idea, that if we would have just read the Pesukim from Parsha Shmos, that would have been almost like a history lesson. So that's the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. We're not trying to learn history on Pesach night, we're trying to relive it, supposed to make current events. So therefore we have to put it into the context of Higadati Ayom, the parasha of Mikra Bikurim. So the parasha of Mikra Bikurim begins with a comparison, comparing and contrasting about Parah wasn't so bad. Shapar Lagos El Azhar. I mean, as bad as he wasn't so bad. Lavan was even worse. Lavan Bikish Lachos Akol. Parah was Lagos El Azhar. What would have happened? How would the world have played out? Imagine if Parah's decree would have been successful. Baruch Hashem, because Baruch Hashem was out of Mitzrayim. So for the most part, the decree didn't impact us. Maybe for some time it did, but it didn't impact us long term. But what would the decree have looked like? Parah goes Ela Al Azharim. So the Rashi quotes in the Medrash that when it says that the Mialdos didn't listen to Parah, so he asked them Batim. So he gave them Batim Malchus, Batim Kuda, Bat Levia, and all of those great, aspects of royalty and priesthood, all those things were descended from the Mialdos, who Chazal tell us were Miriam and Yecheved. So what is that all about? Why is it that the Mialdos were rewarded by getting the Malchus again, the Kuhn again, the Leviah? So I think it's the Beis Levi, if I'm mistaken, who explains that imagine for a second if Paro's decrees would have been successful, so there wouldn't have been any male Jews around. So it doesn't mean that the Jewish people would have disappeared, because in the end of the day, Kedushas Yisrael spreads through the woman anyway. So who would all these women have married? Would have all these Jewish girls around them would have had to marry the Mitzrim. So you would have had Mitzri fathers with Jewish girls, and the children would have been Jewish. So we would have still had Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael would not have disappeared, even if Parah would have succeeded. So Lavan, he was Bikish Lachas Hakol. If Lavan would have succeeded, he would have killed Yaakov and killed the whole family, and nobody left. But Paro was only Logos Lascharim, so according to his Gezerah, so the Jewish people would have still been intact. The only thing is that there are certain parts of Yahadu, certain parts of Yichus and Klai Yisrael that don't go through the mother. And those are Kahuna, Levi, and Malchus. Those are things that go Dafka Derech the father. So that's why they were rewarded, because they saved the Jewish boy. So they enabled Klai Yisrael to continue the line through the father as well. So that's why they were given the special. Of course, they were going to be the ones who were going to be the leaders of the Malchus, of the Kuhn, of the Levi, etc. But if Paro would have succeeded, so would have been bad, but it wouldn't have been the annihilation, wouldn't have been the complete destruction of Klal Yisrael. That whole Shtickle Torah is all assuming that Kedushas Yisrael goes through the mother. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says in Kedushin that Kedushas Yisrael always goes through the mother. So there's the Machlekes Taisus and the Ramban, whether that din was always true. So Taisus claims that din, that Kedushas Yisrael goes through the mother, was only Chadash and Har Sinai. Before Har Sinai, so Kedushas Yisrael went through the father. What did Kedushas Yisrael mean? It meant if you were part of the Jewish part of the family of Avraham Avinu. So it went from Avraham to Yaakov to the Shvatim. It didn't go through the mothers. It went through the others. Why should it go through the others? Kodem Matan Torah. So Taisus explains, because the Gemara says, Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that the Goyim Halacha Chahaz Zohar. Let's say you have a guy from Moab marries a girl from Kanani or something. So what's the kid? Is the kid a Kanani? Is the kid a Moabi? That's an important halacha that emanate from that. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that b'umas halacha chahaz zohar. That the Goyim, you always follow the father. You don't follow the mother. So Taisus writes that Kodem Matan Torah Klai Yisrael Goyim. We didn't have Kedushin Yisrael yet. So their status was a nationality. It wasn't a religion. It was a nationality. So the nationality of being part of the family of Avraham Avinu went through the fathers. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says that once Avraham Avinu entered into a bris with Hashem, so that was already the beginning of Kedushas Yisrael, and the dinim of Kedushas Yisrael spread through the mother, dafka, not through the father. So that Shtickle Torah of the Beis Halevi only fits according to Heftar Hashem. The other Heftar Hashem, so that wouldn't fit. If you hold that, like Taisus, the Zchorim would have been wiped out, so according to Taisus, the Klaisel would have been wiped out also. Because if there are no more Jewish males, so then that would never be able to spread to the next generation. The din that you follow the mother, that was on the Tzchadish at a later point. So again, so we contrast between what Lavan tried to do and what Paro tried to do. And at the end of the day, so then we begin to quote this Pesukim. So we quote the Pasuk, and we say that Vayogar Sham, that Yaakov Avinu ended up, survives the challenge of Lavan, he ends up eventually in Mitzrayim. And then we say, Malamish Layardish Takeh Lagur Sham, that Yaakov's goal was not to actually settle in Mitzrayim. That wasn't the goal. He wasn't planning on being there forever. He wanted to be there for a very, very short amount of time. How long was Yaakov planning on going there? So it could be that when he first hears the news that Yosef is alive, he was planning on going on a very, very short trip. He was going just to visit. He was going to see Yosef, and then he thought he would either die or go back to Eretz Yisrael. So it's only when he gets the Nevuah in Beersheb on the way down, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, he says, no, that you're going to be there for a while, that, it's not so bullshit. This is the beginning of the Gola, so then he decides to stay a little bit longer. And of course, he ends up staying there till the end of his life. But he never ever planned that the whole Jewish people should ever remain totally settled in Mitzrayim. So that mindset that Yaakov goes into Gola, not Lishtakeya, has always been the Jewish mindset. Whenever Klaisel goes to any Gola throughout the years, we've always followed Yaakov Avinu's model. So you always go with the mind that you're going to leave. You're never ever there for permanent. Sometimes it's a long temporary, sometimes it's a short temporary, but it's always with the mindset of not all that long. That's the reason why the Medrash tells us, Rashi quotes, that when Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, so he takes Arazim with him. He brings cedar wood with him. Why is it so important to bring cedar wood? Because eventually they're going to leave Mitzrayim, they're going to build a Mishkan. So they're going to need the Atashitim. But Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't provide Atashitim. Kadosh Baruch Hu provided Esamachas and Kriyas Yamsuf. So Yaakov didn't realize that Yad Hashem Tiktzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu could also provide the Atashitim. So Mestama, the Pshat of the Medrash is that Yaakov wanted to impress upon his children that they have to know that it's coming, that it's around the bend. They should look at those Atashitim, hundreds of years in Mitzrayim, and they should realize we're going to leave, we're going to build a Mishkan one day, we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael one day. So that's going to give them something to look forward to. So that's going to keep them strong, that's going to keep them going in Mitzrayim. So that's something that you have to always keep that dream, that spirit alive. Even if you live at a time where sometimes it's not practical, let's say how many thousands of years Jews said L'shana Bab Yerushalayim. Well, it wasn't even on the radar screen of people going back to Yerushalayim. The Jew in Poland 300 years ago said L'shana Bab Yerushalayim. So he didn't even have a clue what that meant. The Alpha Bichain, that somehow was still kept alive. The dream was still kept alive, and Tafka, because that dream was kept alive all these years, that was able to begin to reach fruition, to turn into reality. If Klai Yisrael would have forgotten about Geulah, would have forgotten about Beis Hamikdash, would have forgotten about Eretz Yisrael all these years, then we wouldn't be where we are today. So it's Yaakov Avinu already taught us that lesson, they have to keep the dream alive. On the other hand, sometimes people get so focused on keeping the dream alive in Gullus that they think that means at the expense of taking care of what the needs of Gullus are. Sometimes the person has this attitude, well, I'm only here for a short time, so we're not going to build yeshivas, we're not going to build shuls, we're not going to build become a star, we're just using this as a transit stop along the way. That's also wrong. That Yaakov, with the same breath, Yaakov taught us that he set up yeshivas, that the same Yaakov Avinu who carried with him, schlepped with him the Yatzeshitim to remind his children that they're eventually leaving, he's the same Yaakov Avinu who sets up the yeshiva, Shemesham Teitzer, Rol Yisrael. So this has always been the dual approach of Klal Yisrael throughout the years of Golas. It's almost a contradictory approach, but both are true, that you have to know that you're leaving Golas soon. On the other hand, you have to make the most of it and make sure to preserve. If you don't preserve Klal Yisrael in Golas, then by the time the Gula comes, there'll be nobody to take out, because no one's going to remember that the Jewish anyway. So the only way to keep that Gula alive is to keep the Torah, to keep the Mokham Hara in Golas itself. The original plan is that the Yeshua Vadech Beretz Goshen. So Yosef very much looks to the future and he realizes that when his brothers and the children are coming, so he can't just integrate them into the rest of Mitzrayim. They have to be a little bit separate. They have to live in Eretz Goshen. They have to have a place where they're going to be a little bit safer. So the Farshim comment on the Medrash at the beginning of Parashat Shmos, Vatimalei Aretz El Sam, that Klai Yisrael started to break out and they started to get involved. And they started to be found throughout the land of Egypt. Where were they found? They were found in the theaters, they were found in the circuses, they were found in the sports events, they were found in everything. Whatever was good for the Goyim became good for the Jews. So once the Jewish people broke out of that model of living in Eretz Goshen, living in that mindset of Eretz Goshen, so the Beis Halevi explains their intent was, they thought that would get them closer to the non-Jewish host. They realized that they were a minority in Egypt, so they figured that the closer they get, the more they integrate, the more they play, the more they hang out in the Goyisha place of entertainment, that's going to get them closer to the Goyim. So it had the exact opposite effect. And then the Mitzvah started to get nervous about them, started to get scared of them, started to get jealous of them. So the Beis Halevi explains this has been an ongoing mistake in Jewish history, that the Jewish people always feel that the best way to win over the favor of the Goyim is to become like them. So when you figure the closer we are to them, that's going to lead them to like us more. And the opposite has always been true. That the more that we become a bottle to them, so the more that Umas Olam begin to resent us. So one has to be careful to learn this lesson properly. We say in Agada Varav, Revava Kitzemach Hasad Nesatech V'tiru V'tigdali V'sarech Tzimech V'ad Erev Area. So in the Rambam of Dusach Agada, many of the old Agadas, so that's the end of the paragraph, then it goes on to something else. But in, I think it's not mistaken, it's the Nusach Ari, that's the meaning that many people say, is they add the next pasuk. They add the pasuk that says, V'avor Alayach V'erech Mishlosesus B'damayach V'amalach B'damayachi B'damayachi. It's the continuation of the Pesukim in Yechazkel. So the Pesukim describe the whole Nevuah that's given to Yechazkel, describing what the Jewish people looked like at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about Erum Be'eria, that they were naked, they had nothing, that there was, what does that mean, that Erum Be'eria? So Rashi quotes in Parshas Bereishis, Ke'erom Ata means Erum Min HaMitzvahs, it means they were naked of mitzvahs, they didn't have any mitzvahs, they didn't have any schuyos. At the end of the day, Klai Yisrael had very, very little to be nigel on behalf of. That they didn't have the mitzvah, they weren't observing the mitzvah of Bris Mila on the most part, and they had pretty, they were over there with Zara, halal of there with Zara, halal of there with Zara. So there was very, very little that they had. So HaKadosh Baruch had to give them two special mitzvahs to put them over the top, to give them a little bit of zchus to be able to experience the gula. So he gave them two mitzvahs that involved dam. So b'damayachi is a double lashon. The one refers to the dam of the Korban Pesach, and one refers to the dam of Mila. What is the connection between these two damim? The Dam of Pesach and the Dam of Mila. So both of these Damim are things that create almost like the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. That the Bris Mila is not just a personal mitzvah. It's different from other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs say, I put on tefillin, I shake a lulav, I hear a shofar, eat matzah. Those are mitzvahs to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't really impact my connection to the tzibur. It doesn't impact my connection to Klal Yisrael. It's to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvah bris milah is a knisa labris. So bris means that there's a treaty between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not me as an individual. The bris is not between an individual Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bris is between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as a whole. So the mitzvah of bris milah speaks to my chelek as part of the tzibur as well. And the same is true when it comes to Korban Pesach. So Korban Pesach is not a Korban Yochid in the classic sense. It's not a Korban like, I bring a Korban Oilo, either I do or I don't. I bring a Shlomo, either I do or I don't. It doesn't impact anybody else. Korban Pesach is a Korban HaTzibur. So it's not a Korban Tzibur like a Tumid or a Musaf in that sense, but it has the status of a Korban Tzibur. The Gemara says it's also B'Knufya, since it comes, the whole, everyone comes together. A regular Korban Oilo, I bring one today, you bring a Chatzis tomorrow, you bring the Shlomo the next day, there's no Shaychus between us. When it comes to Korban Pesach, Korban Pesach has to be shechted as a group of Klal Yisrael to such an extent that the Gemara learns from Sukkim that you have to shechted v'shachas al kol kahal adas Yisrael ben Arba'im, that each one of those phrases, kahal adas Yisrael, each one refers to 10, that 10 is always a million, 10 is always a representation of Klal Yisrael. You need 3 minyanim, you have to have a triple minyan present at the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara is not sure on Maseches Pesachim, what does that mean? Does that mean that you have to have 30 people present, 3 minyanim, or you have to have 3 groups of 10 each? The Gemara says, we're not sure, so we do both. So that's why they would always make sure that even at the end, most people would be the Korban Pesach earlier in the day, but even the people who would come late, so they always had at least there were 30 people there. You can't shech the Korban Pesach by yourself. It's a Korban, which is part of as part of your relationship to Klal Yisrael. So it's because these two mitzvahs connect a person to the Jewish people, that's probably part of the reason why one is Chayav Kares of being mevatel to these mitzvahs. It's unheard of to be Chayav Kares for mitzvah zeser. Mitzvah zeser is not so chomer. So you didn't put on tefillin. So you didn't take Kriyas Shema tonight. I mean, it's not a good thing. It's not the end of the world. Kares is reserved for Averus HaChemurus B'Yosef. So why is Kares meted out to a person who merely didn't have a bris or didn't bring Korban Pesach? So it could be it's a different kind of a Kares. It's not an Einish of Kares. It's a Metzias of Kares. The Metzias is, what does Kares do? V'nichas HaNefeshim Yameha. That means Klal Yisrael is eternal. Klal Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Lama Ba. So Klal Yisrael is going to be here forever. If a person still remains holding on for dear life to Klal Yisrael, so then they're shaykh, then the shaykh to the Klal Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Lama Ba. But if a person breaks away, if a person wants nothing to do with the Jewish people, so then they're just coming into it as an individual, there's no haftacha, there's no promise that for any individual is going to remain here forever. That's currency. Currency, nefesh means the nefesh is gone. The person dies, the nefesh is gone and finished. There's nothing left to the person. So the only time a person can remain has nitzchias is if he holds on for dear life to Klai. So also come in Pesach and Bris Milah, those mitzvahs that demonstrate that a person is ready to be part of that tzibur. So that's what these two mitzvahs were performed dafka on the eve of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, there was a shvuah that he made Tam Avivu to take out Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The shvuah was not in each individual, so many individuals could stay behind. In fact, many did stay behind. So many of the people didn't want to go. Whoever didn't want to go stayed behind. They all died in the day of Choshech. So anyone who wanted to be part of that Am Hashem, who wanted to be part of that destiny, the Jewish people, they're the ones who left. So the two mitzvahs that demonstrate you are being part of that destiny are the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of the mitzvah of Milah. Pasuk says, "Ve'eretz haMitzrim Rabin is Chachmalo." So Rashi quotes that for the Gemara Masechta Sota that Paro convenes his cabinet try to figure out what in the world to do with this menace of the Jewish people. So he asks Siyav what to do, and he asks Yisro what to do, and Bilam what to do. Everyone's giving a different atis. So Yisro runs away. Fine. So the pasuk says at the beginning of Parashas Yisro, when Yisro comes back to when he hears the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he comes to join the Jewish people. So he says, Baruch Hashem, Shehitzas Chemiyad Mitzrayim Yad Paro. So he gives out a big Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem for taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So it sounds from those psukim that Yisro is somehow adding to something. We already know they left Mitzrayim. We already sang as Yosha. We know about all the Nisim. What was the Chiddush of Yisro? Baruch Hashem, Shehitzel, Chamiyah, Mitzrayim. So the, I don't know if it's Beisalevi, the Biskirov, one of them explains that the Baruch Hashem was as follows. That the Pasuk says, Halos Hashem kol goyim ki gover aleinu chasdo. That the Umas HaOilim should praise Hashem because of all the chesed that he does for us. Why should they praise him? We should praise him. Why should the goyim praise him for what he does for us? So the Farshim explained that Klal Yisrael has a very limited vantage point as to what Chasad HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. whatever we know about, we know that there was this persecution, there was this gazera, that gazera, so we're happy, we praise Hashem for what it appears to us we're safe from. But the only people who really know the extent of the Yeshua, the extent of the Nisim, are the Goyim themselves. Because they were the ones who were behind closed doors. They were the ones who knew about all the decrees that never even made it to the front page of the papers. There were many, many plans the Goyim had in the last 3,000 plus years that we don't even know about. So Lasa Lava, all the Goyim are going to come forward, and they're all going to realize all the mistakes. They're all going to say, Gavalt, all the terrible things we tried to do to the Jewish people, Baruch Hashem, we didn't succeed. So they're going to lead the praise. They're going to say, Halos Hashem ko Goyim ki gavar l'nechas. So they're going to be able to tell us what the chasadim were, the chasadim that we ourselves didn't even know to appreciate. So that's what we say about Yisro also, that Chai Sol knew about some of the things Paro had planned. We knew he wanted to throw our boys into the river, and he wanted to make us slaves there. But there may have been 100 other plans that were scrapped that never even made it to fruition. And the only person who was able to tell them about them was Yisro. So Yisro comes after the fifth time and says, "I got a story to tell you. You never even heard this part of the story." And he starts filling in all the stories, all the sideshows, all the other things that we never even heard about. So Baruch Hashem, that led Klal Yisrael to clear a whole new Akaras HaTov, a whole new level of Akaras HaTov. So we owe a lot of Akaras HaTov to Yisrael for many things. One of the things is that he helped us out by opening our eyes to things that he had the inside scoop of things that we wouldn't necessarily have even known about. Pasuk says that V'nitzach L'Hashem L'Kev Yisenu, that when Melech Mitzrayim died, so then Klai Yisrael started to cry. So the obvious problem is, why are they crying when he died? Forget, they should have been happy when he died. He was their enemy, he was the one who was enslaving them. So again, there are different interpretations. So Chazal, one opinion, he didn't really die, he became a Mitzrayim, he was using their Jewish blood. So that's obviously addressing the difficulty in the Pasuk. So why in the world were they crying at that point? So if I'm not mistaken, I think it's of Shem Shafal Hirsch who points out that Mestama, the Pshat, and the Pshitla Shemikra, the reason why they were crying Dafka at this point is because there's a difference when there's a gezeirah, when there's a rule that was just started by one king. So Kol Zman, that the law is associated with that particular king, so there's always a hope that's held out that, well, that king will die, so they'll rescind his decree. But the problem is, when something becomes part of a tradition, it becomes written into law, it becomes, this is how we do things in this country, so nobody remembers anymore who originally started it. Once it becomes part of the practice of the culture, so then it's much, much more difficult to uproot it. So Klai Yisrael were hoping and praying that Kozman, that the power was alive, as bad as he was, so Peshitta, he started the decree, maybe he can bump off the decree, but once he dies, so then it becomes part of Egyptian culture, and then no one's going to remember why Paro started the decree. It's just, it's understood, Jews are slaves, and that's just the way it is. So at that point, that's talking when they start to cry out, when they realize that that at this point they can't rely on just a mere Paro dying and things getting better. Things they forget, things are only going to get worse. We speak about how Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. Lo yedei malach, lo yedei sarach, lo yedei shaliach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it el b'chvoy de v'atzbo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. There's a Chassam Sofer that says, based on this, that maybe this is the source for a minute that there are more quotes of practice, that when you do a pidyon haben, so you shouldn't do a yedei shaliach. Only the father should give the money to the Kohen himself. Shouldn't appoint the shaliach. And the poskim have no idea why that Ramah should be true. So Taka, both of the Achraim disagree with it. The Gra and the Shach, and also the later Pesukim disagree with that Ramah. What's wrong with Shlichus? Why can't it, what's not Mitzvah Sheva Gufa? What's wrong with Shlichus? So Chassam Sofer says, on Derech HaDrush, that since Makas Bechoros was done Dafka by HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'lo Yedei Shaliach, so when we reenact Makas Bechoros by doing Pidja Ben is a Zeichel of Makas Bechoros, so we want to go out of our way to do a Dafka ourselves. We don't want to delegate it to Shlichus because we want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing the Makas all by himself. Even though the Pasuk says, nevertheless, the Pasuk in Parshas Bo does speak about Velo Yiten HaMashchis Lingof. The Pasuk does refer to the Malach HaMavos, refers to Mashchis, to some kind of other power, some not power literally, but some other kind of a force that was involved in meeting out this Makkah. So the question is, what does that mean? If it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu Velo Yedei Shaliach, so what exactly was this Mashchis? So there are different interpretations that are given. So one of them is that V'lo'yitin HaMashchis means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let the regular Malach HaMavos have any shalita that night. The odds are you have 600,000 people, so statistics are someone's going to die. probably a lot more than one person. Let's add 600,000 people, so I don't know who was old, but probably someone, a few people should have died that night. So Kadosh Baruch Hu Dafka told the Malchim Avos to stay home that night, that because it shouldn't look like any Jew was dying. So even though a Jew would have died of natural causes, I was due to die anyway that night, but no, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a special break of Misa didn't play out that night. So he did a Mashchet, even the Mashchet that wasn't the Makas B'Chayres, wouldn't have any Shlita. Others suggest that the Mashchet was the natural consequences of Makas B'Chayres. Makas B'Chayres means you can have hundreds of thousands of people dying right and left, so the amount of disease and all the negative repercussions of that would itself be very, very dangerous. Nothing happened. The Klaus was sitting in Goshen, sitting eating Korban Pesach, sitting saying Hallel, getting baking the matzahs. Everything is gavali, everything is hunky-dory, and even though there's death and disease and everything else outside, so none of that has any impact whatsoever on Klaus Yisrael. At the end of the Magid, so we move into Rav Gamliel HaYomer, so we speak about the three things, the three mitzvahs halayla. So we say, Kosh lo b'shlosh b'ram pesach liyotze de chavasoi. Famous machlekes have shown him, what exactly is the chova that you weren't yotze? So the Rambam holds that the chova is referring to the chova of Sipatis Mitzrayim. That means if you don't say the Gimel Devarim, so you weren't yotze the mitzvah of Sipatis Mitzrayim. Tosfos has a different shot. Tosfos and the Ran have a whole different shot in Rav Gamliel HaYomer. They learn that Rav Gamliel HaYomer means that if you didn't say the three things, it means you weren't yotze the Pesach Matzah Morah. What do you mean you weren't yotze? I ate the Pesach, I ate the Matzah tomorrow. Why wasn't I yotze? So the other Rishonim, Tosfos and the Ran learn that the Chiddush of Rav Gamliel HaYomer is that V'amaitzim Tevach Pesach teaches me that there are two mitzvahs of Pesach, two mitzvahs of Matzah, two mitzvahs of Morah. There's the mitzvah maisis, the mitzvah the maisis of eating the Pesach Matzah Morah, and then there's the dibur that has to accompany the Pesach Matzah Morah. So when Rav Gamliel says lo yotze dechavasoi, so the Rishonim write, the Ran writes lav dafka. It doesn't mean yamamish not yotze. It means lo yotze dechavasoi b'shleimusa. It means of course ate the matzah. Every time matzah ate the matzah, matzah went down the tuba. I was yotze the mitzvah, but I wasn't yotze in the proper fashion. I wasn't yotze b'chadchila. I wasn't yotze b'hidura because I lost out that dimension of the amir of the matzah zevach Pesach. But according to the Rambam, that's the chlal, not what it's talking about. According to the Rambam, kosh l'omish lo shadvam l'yotzei dechavasa means that you weren't yotzei sipritzis mitzrayim. Why wasn't I yotzei sipritzis mitzrayim? I sang dayenu, I spoke about the esamachas, we walked around the table with the matzah on the head. What was wrong exactly? Why wasn't I yotzei the sipritzis mitzrayim? Just because I didn't speak about the mitzvah halayla. So you see clear from this Rambam that the mitzvah of Magid is not just telling stories. The mitzvah of Magid is twofold. You have to tell stories also, but you have to relate those stories specifically to the Pesach Matzah Morah. That if you go the whole night and just tell every medrash from the little medrash says or something, and you forget to tell everybody that they're supposed to do Pesach Matzah Morah, so you blew it. You didn't really fulfill the mitzvah. Why not? I did. I said, Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem. I talked about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What am I missing? Beis HaLevi explains that Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tzitzim Mitzrayim. So that posuk means as follows. Bavur Zeh, we know what the Zeh refers to. Zeh refers to the mitzvah salayah, to the Pesach Matzah Morah. So Beis HaLevi says that we sometimes think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and then after Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up with this great idea, let's think of a way to remember these events. So we'll give you the mitzvah Pesach, the Matzah Morah, as a zeichah to these events. So that's one aspect, but it's much deeper than that, says the Beis HaLevi. He says that mitzvahs exist in the world, even before there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu istacha b'raisa v'avyam, and the Svarim Kedoshim speak about how the Torah was created many, many years, centuries, generations before the world was created. I mean, the Chochmas HaTorah is a reflection of the Chochmas Hashem Yisbarach, istacha b'raisa v'avyam, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, and then he created a world that would facilitate Shemiras HaTorah v'mitzvahs. Torah comes before history. Torah comes before creation. Torah comes before the natural world. Because Baruch Hu, in a sense, rigged history in such a way that on the 15th night of Nisan, there were events that would now make Yetzias Mitzrayim relevant for us. Because eating matzah is something that exists before there was a Mitzrayim, before there was a Jewish people, before there was a world, there was a concept, there was a mitzvah echilas matzah. But it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm a boss of Adam. What does matzah have to do with me? So the answer is that Baruch Hu made Yetzias Mitzrayim so that now matzah has some kind of a meaning in the Olam Hazeh. But matzah has a meaning way even beyond the scope of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's where the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu celebrated and Lot celebrated. Everyone's eating Matzah on Pesach. It wasn't even Yetzias Mitzrayim yet. What are you celebrating exactly? So you do mitzvahs before Matan Torah, but the mitzvah doesn't mean anything. It's not even Tofes. So the answer is, of course, it's Tofes, because mitzvahs have meaning even before the historical events play out. So that's what we say to the at the Seder. We say Ba'avur Zeh Asa Hashem Li, because of the matzah, Pesach matzah, Marachosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Not that we're eating the matzah because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It took us out of Mitzrayim to enable us to eat the matzah properly. If that's the case, if you left out the mitzvah of matzah, then you missed the boat. You told a great story, dramatic, unbelievable, exciting, you know, suspenseful story about how the Jewish people were saved, but you forgot to get to the punchline, that the whole goal was to accomplish this goal. The goal was, Baba Zah, so Hashem believes in Mitzrayim. Sometimes in life, we get so focused on a half dozen other things, we forgot what the original goal was. So you have to remember, why am I here in the first place? I was just reading the other day, there was a great line. It was talking about the Six-Day War. So it said that those who know a little bit how the history of the war played out, so the original cause of the war was because the Egyptians closed the Straits of Tehran. So then other things, this galgul, one thing left with another thing, left with another thing, another thing. So the first day of the war, so first they had to knock out the Egyptian Air Force, then they had to raid, and then they had to invade into the Sinai. And then by the second day, by the third day, they were fighting Yerushalayim, a million other things were going on. And then it was like the fourth day of the war, somebody woke up and said, we still haven't, God, I think it was Moshe Dayan, who said that the war's going to end, they're going to have a ceasefire soon, and we didn't even get to the point of why we started the war in the first place. So it was a very good, very powerful line about life. That sometimes we start a project, and we get so sluggish in 15 days, we forgot what the original goal was. In the end, they did. Well, as well, they did finish up the war properly. So the same thing, L'Havdil Alfei Havdalot, that if a person gets so sidetracked with Yetzias Mitzrayim and Esa Makos and Kriyas Yam Suf and forgot to get to the punchline, so that was the whole goal. The whole reason was that Hashem wanted to get you to that point of being able to eat Pesach Matzah tomorrow. So Kol Shlo Omer Shlosh Dvar Pesach Lo Yatz Nechav Asay. We conclude after we say the Pesach Matzah Maror, so we speak about the Chol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Lir Statsu Kul Yatzim in Mitzrayim. So we spoke a little bit about this yesterday. So this idea of the Chol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Lir Statsu Kul Yatzim in Mitzrayim, so at first glance this sounds like something that's unique to the Leil HaSeder. We don't walk around all year long talking about B'chol Dor V'Dor. Right? Pesach night, we make a big fuss of B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Lir Statsu. So the emphasis is that the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam writes, earlier on, when the Rambam quotes this din originally, B'chol Dor V'Dor, so the Rambam writes, it's this obligation of B'chol Dor V'Dor that the Torah tells us that you have to remember that you were in heaven and Mitzrayim, and you have to observe these mitzvahs. So if you would just read this Rambam, you would get the impression that this pasuk is talking about Pesach, right? Because that's where this chiyuv is found. So if you know Chumash, this pasuk is not about Pesach. This pasuk, Zechar Tegevet Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, is found in two places. It's found by Shavuos in Parshas Re'eh, and it's also found by Shabbos in Parshas Veschanan. So why is the Rambam quoting Yipsukim, which don't even talk about Pesach? How do these observance of Shavuos, observance of Shabbos, how does that connect to the idea of B'chol Dor V'Dor? So it would appear what the Rambam is telling us is as follows, that the pasuk says, "L'mantiskos yom teis chametzem koy mechayecha." So the Mishnah in the first Berachah Brachot that we refer to in the beginning of the Seder says that this is the source that you have to remember to Yitzrayim b'yom v'layla. We say Krishma, third Pasha, b'yom v'layla, to fulfill this pasuk, "L'mantisko koy mechayecha." But Rashi and Chumash says a different shot in the pasuk. Rashi quotes that the Pshuta Shem Mekra means that it says you eat matzah, and Shivash Yom Techol Matzah, l'mantisko, the eating of the matzah, so that will enable you to be Zoyche Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Rashi writes, that's what the pshat in the pasuk is. That through observing of the Seder, through the eating of the matzah, the Pesach Matzah Maror, that will enable you to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim your entire life. So which one is it? Is the pshat that I do it once, and I do it once a year, and that's what L'man Tisko means, I do an action once a year, and that impacts? Or is L'man Tisko mean that I do it every single day? So the answer basically is that there are really two different parts of Zechira. That there are two ways to ensure that somebody remembers something. So we have like long-term memory, short-term memory, the different kinds of memories. So in order to remember something, it has to really, really make a roshim on you. It has to make a real, real bang. If it doesn't make a roshim on you, you're not going to remember it. So why is it that people remember like really exciting, important things that happened in their lives? So they remember with really, really details, 40, 50, 60 years later, they remember. And most things come and go. I don't remember what I ate yesterday for lunch. Why is it one? Same thing every other day. So that's all hard to remember. Where did I go last week? What did I do last month? People don't remember. They weren't so important. It wasn't so striking. So it's hard for people to remember things that don't make a great impact on them. On the other hand, if a person doesn't review, and a person doesn't reference, and a person doesn't in their mind, reconnect to those events, so then even if it made a great roshim at one point, so eventually over time things are going to fade, the memory is not going to be so fresh anymore. So we need almost a combination of two factors in order to really make sure that something remains part of us forever. We have to make a really, really chashuv, make a real, real push at the beginning, and then we have to have small little, reminders along the way. So that's exactly what Yitzhak Yisrael is supposed to play out in our minds. The goal is, how do you go about doing that? So you do that in two different ways. So you do that by once a year, make a bazaar roshim. We don't make a seder every night, we don't make a seder every Friday night. We make a zah seder, make a real to-do, but then we make short references to it. Every day and every night, we remember that we say, oh yeah, Laman Tiskor, every time when you say Krishma, so you should, remember the Seder, remember basically that, remember Tzitzam, I keep on referencing back to those events, so that enables a person to keep on refreshing those memories. So the answer is that, B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayv Anu Losas Asuk Zot Mitzrayim, it is an ongoing Chiyuv. You don't have to act it out every single day. You don't have to make such a big splash every single day, but the goal of life, you're supposed to walk away at the end of life, that Kilu Yotzam Mitzrayim. So how do you get to that point? So you get it from a combination of the big splash once a year, as well as the short recharging of the boosters along the way. When we speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, more the focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, so there's very, very little at the Seder about Kriyas Yamsuf. In our Haggadah, we had a little bit at the end about Kriyas Yamsuf. We sing Dayenu, which speaks a lot about Yamsuf. Then we have the last three Prakim from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, that speak about the Nisvat Yamsuf, how the Nisvat Yamsuf even overshadowed the Nisvat Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Rambam's Haggadah doesn't have that. The whole Dayenu, the last three, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi Gluer, Rabbi Kiva, all that is missing. Why is that? So there seems to be a machlokes where the Kriyas Yamsuf is a separate nace. Now, Yetzias Mitzrayim happened when they left Mitzrayim. So they walked out of Mitzrayim, that was it. Now, Kriyas Yamsuf was a week later. So that's a new nace. It happened to be, a week later, it happened to be the same people, but it was really a different nace. So therefore, on Pesach night, we focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, not on Yamsuf. And others say, no, our minig is that Kriyas Yamsuf was the grand finale, that Kriyas Yamsuf, if not for Kriyas Yamsuf, then the Holy Yetzias Mitzrayim would have unraveled. It wasn't a new nace 500 years later. It was the Gemara, that was the Machba Patash of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, it is appropriate to speak about. So the Shaila, Achmarim, have a Shaila. Let's say, on Pesach night, a guy tells, things as Yosher, he talks all about Kriyas Yamsuf, didn't say a word about Machlokes Becheres, didn't talk about any of the events of Tesla of Nisan. Would that suffice for Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's not clear. Let's say on a regular night, a person wouldn't say a word about Yetzias Mitzrayim, he would just talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. You say as Yosher day and night, so it's also not clear. Could be that they're considered to be two separate events. Anyway, so again, we try to give a little bit of a some odds and ends, some nekudas, some things to remember. Halacha, machshava, just a little bit some of the points. Obviously, it's ketipa b'rayam. There's so much more Torah that are revolved around these mamari chazal that make up the bulk of what the parsha is. Okay, so we'll stop for now. Any last requests for tomorrow's shiur? Mashkafa. We just gave a shkafa for now. Okay, we'll figure it out tomorrow. Okay. So be determined what and when. Okay, I'm sorry again. I apologize again for the...